Bo Nix and the Broncos come into the Caesars Superdome and ruin the Drew Brees Hall of Fame night and win 33-10. Who wins the Super Bowl rematch, the Chiefs or the 49ers? Can the Ravens and Lamar Jackson keep their amazing NFC record and beat the Tampa Bay Buccaneers? You're watching the Fumble Rooski Podcast.
It may not have always showed it in the stat sheet, but you can see him making throws when he needs to make the throws.
Back-to-back games where he has three touchdowns.
Someone's got to get that six or seven spot.
He's an elite wide receiver as a rookie.
Truly a lose-lose scenario for both sides.
You're listening to the Fumble Rooski Podcast by Power 88 Dean Radio and Secret Weapon Consulting. I'm Chris Kostich, and with me, CJ Medeiros. Just the two of us, so probably get a bit of a quicker show here today, but it's Friday, so we're going to look at the recap for the Thursday night game and, of course, our Week 7 picks for this week. But right off the bat, Thursday night football kind of just went back. This was a pretty typical Thursday night game. You know, we got a little bit spoiled the last couple weeks with the Falcons and the Bucks. And the Niners and the Seahawks, although the Niners-Seahawks game was a double-digit game at the end. It was still pretty entertaining. This one, just not a great game. And the Saints, on the day that Drew Brees gets inducted into their Hall of Fame, put up an absolute stinker. Spencer Rattler, I mean, yeah, he didn't have a good game. He also got sacked six times. 25 for 35 is still a very good stat. Just you're not throwing more than 5 yards downfield. That's going to be a problem. Bo Nix played like Oregon Bo Nix, calling his own number a lot, 10 carries, 75 yards. I actually was pissed that he didn't get a touchdown because I had him for anytime tutty. And I mean, hey, the way he was running the ball, I thought he probably would. Javonte Williams was the big story from this game, though. 14 carries, 88 yards, 2 touchdowns. Spencer Rattler, despite having a pretty good completion percentage, also had 2 fumbles lost. Both of them in very comedic fashion, to say the least. The Saints are not playing good at all. First two games of the season looked like they're going to be contenders, and then they run into the Eagles. They can't put up double-digit points. Derek Carr gets hurt. Chris Olave gets hurt. And really, their only weapon right now is Alvin Kamara. Rashid Shaheed's now out for the year. This offense, I don't think anyone was really expecting the Saints' offense to do a ton last night, but at the same time, the defense, still not a bad defense. Just the Broncos ended up being the better team last night.
Oh my God. This was a Thursday night game, folks. Let me tell you. Just the Saints, they teased us with promises of what could be in weeks one and week two. Right, you know, they start out 2-0. It's like, oh my God, are they legit? Nope. Turns out they're not. They have now lost 5 straight. That is embarrassing. And like you said, you know, Kamara didn't really do much of anything last night. Olave was not there. Shaheed's done for the year. They haven't had A.T. Perry for a bit. And their wide receivers going into that night, they're starters. Are you ready for this, folks? You sitting down? Cedric Wilson Jr., Mason Tipton, and rookie Bub Means.
Don't forget about Juwan Johnson.
at tight end. Yeah, I know. But we like Juwan. Penn State legend Juwan Johnson. But and Pittsburgh legend Bub Means. I did like him in the pre-draft process. Come on now. But, oh, my God. And you know what happened? So Spencer Rattler, like you said, 2 fumbles lost. In very comedic ways. It's just, this is not how we honor Drew Brees. And I still think it's funny how the only touchdown a QB scored was when they subbed in Jake Haener at garbage time.
Yeah.
You know, the very zesty Jake Haener. We all remember that photo shoot. And for the Saints, I feel for Drew Brees, you know, having his night just completely obliterated by the Denver Broncos. And I feel bad for the fans. You know, you got to be riding high after those first 2 weeks, right? And then the wheels completely come off. Fun fact, they play in the Caesars Superdome. And this is not Caesars Sportsbook. This is, or I mean, it is, but it may as well be Little Caesars, because that's where people like Spencer Rattler are going to end up if they keep playing terribly. And I assure you, buddy, I don't want to hear that you went pro. Put my pizza in the box. You're not putting the pizza down with this one, let me tell you. But then there's the Broncos. Bo Nix didn't really dazzle me. You know, he called his own number a bunch. He had a lot of dink and dunk passes, but he did what they need him to do. And we said it's coming out of the draft. He's a game manager. That's what you're getting out of him. And he was able to play, except for when he ran, just like throwing, like I said, a lot of dinks and dunks, very conservative. And in this game especially, there's nothing wrong with that. There's really not, at least according to me, because, you know, he showed up, he limited his mistakes, he fed Javonte Williams, who, by the way, went off in fantasy on my bench. Thanks for that, buddy. But now, all jokes aside, you know, Javonte Williams had a good game. He was able to spread the ball around, got other guys like Lucas Krull and Marvin Mims involved. There's a name I haven't heard in a bit. You know, Troy Franklin had a good game. It's just, you know, Denver, like you said, was just the better team. And they're going to take that. And the Broncos are 4-3 on the year, if you can believe it. It's a very ugly and unconvincing 4-3, but 4-3 nonetheless.
Especially considering that three of those wins coming on the road as well. They haven't played great at home, but on the road, they've picked up three wins, which is kind of surprising because normally you're supposed to be a good team. You're supposed to be really good at home and then have a really shitty record on the road. But for some reason, Denver is just the road warriors right now. It's insane. And this Denver defense, pretty underrated, to say the least. I mean, obviously the big name is Patrick Surtain, but yeah, in general, they've been stepping up pretty well. Justin Sternad, Levi Wallace, Cody Barton, Jaquan.
Oh, yeah, no, the Denver defense is – we said this about the Giants before, but the Denver defense is actually criminally underrated because they have this one pass rusher whose name escapes me. It's Nick Benito and this other one that are, like, really, really good that have played, like, unnecessarily well.
Like, we're not talking like 2015, 2013 Denver Broncos, but
But
this has still been a very good defense through the first part of the season. And I mean, it'd be interesting to see if they can ride this high on the defense throughout the rest of the year. And I don't know if it'll accumulate to a playoff spot, but
yeah, stranger things have happened.
Yeah.
So real quick before we move on, I do want to just take a gander at the rest of their schedule next week. They're hosting the Carolina Panthers. Then Bo Nix's status as road warrior is going to be put to the test when they go to Baltimore. Then they go to Kansas City. Then they host Atlanta. Then they go to Vegas. Then they host Cleveland. Then they host Indy. Then they're going to the Chargers. Then they're going to Cincy. And then they end hosting the Chiefs. So there's going to be a stretch of games where they're just going to run into a buzzsaw. However, games towards the back half of their schedule are really winnable.
I was going to say there are some teams in there that are winnable, even though you threw out games like the Falcons and the Ravens, but there are winnable games like the Colts and obviously the Panthers. But so they could find themselves keeping around that 500 spot and being a wild card contender going into Thanksgiving potentially.
Yeah, true. I mean, you never know. I mean, honestly, are the Broncos unimpressive? Yes. But I can envision a reality where they sneak into the playoffs as like the seventh seed, perhaps the sixth seed if things fall their way.
Someone's got to get that six or seven seed, man. Someone's got to get it. Yeah. The intro. Oh, man. Yeah, I got nothing else for that game, though.
Not me neither.
Yeah. All right, we'll move on. We'll take a quick breather here. When we come back, we'll get into our Week 7 picks. Happy Friday. It's getting colder, getting closer to Halloween, getting closer to Thanksgiving. Football season is in full swing.
It may not have always showed it in the stat sheet, but you can see him making throws when he needs to make the throws.
Back-to-back games where he has 3 touchdowns.
Someone's got to get that 6 or 7 spot.
He's an elite wide receiver as a rookie.
Truly a lose-lose scenario for both sides.
You're listening to the Fumble Rooski Podcast, Power 18 Radio, Seeker Up in Consulting, CJ Medeiros, Chris Kostich. We're going to start with our Rooski Game of the Week, Super Bowl rematch. And I think this is the Fox game of the week, if I'm not mistaken. And I'm assuming it is, since it is on Fox. Yeah. So Chiefs coming in with, I mean, Mahomes said this himself, the way that they're winning isn't very sustainable, but they found themselves somehow with a 5-0 record this year. 49ers coming off of a much needed win against the Seahawks last Thursday night. Both teams kind of, 49ers coming off of like a weird bye week, if you want to call it a bye week, even though they had the Thursday night game, but it's almost like a makeshift bye week, whereas the Chiefs coming off of an actual bye week. So both teams coming in with a little bit of extra energy. There is some questions though on the Niners side about Jordan Mason. Had a AC sprain in his shoulder, and usually with those, it's not great. So it'd be interesting to see if Jordan Mason actually plays in this game. And if he doesn't, I'm not really sure. Who's their next guy up right now? It's Isaac Guerrero and Patrick Taylor Jr. would be their next two.
Yeah, Guerrero's pretty solid. I mean, I liked him out of Louisville.
Yeah. But I think that this is where the Chiefs end up getting their first loss, though. I'm going with the Niners. Usually in past years for Kansas City, especially when they're playing against teams like Baltimore and Buffalo, they'll lose to playoff contending or Super Bowl hopeful teams in the regular season and then come away with the victory in the postseason. So I think this is probably going to be one of those games where the Niners get their revenge. So, yeah, give me the Niners getting the win at home.
This game, like I said, obviously game of the week, huge matchup for both sides. Like you alluded to, Mahomes and even Andy Reid have said themselves, they're not happy with the way the Chiefs are. This is probably the most deceiving 5-0 we've seen in a bit. And like I said, it sucks because you know as long as they have Mahomes, they're going to be competitive. It's kind of like what New England did with Tom Brady. You know, as long as you got Brady, you never count him out. And yes, I know there is a case to be made that they're literally 4 whistles away from being 2-3 or 1-4, but that's the past. I'm not getting into that. It's just these games, they haven't won convincingly. You know what I mean? These are fourth quarter down to the wire, just nail biters that they're either just sweating out or the other team just runs out of gas. I haven't seen a game where I look at them and say, oh yeah, these are the Chiefs of yore. And to be fair, they're injured to hell and back. So this isn't entirely their fault. And they are being saved right now, believe me, by a really good defense. But it's in San Francisco, too. And the Niners, hey, they're hurt in their own right. This might be, forget toilet bowl, this might be just be the injury bowl in general. But the Niners, they still just have more weapons that the Chiefs are going to have to contend with. And in past times, I've said, hey, well, you know, Mahomes is Travis Kelce, but Kelce has not been good this season.
No.
Honestly, I just don't think his heart's in it anymore. And to be fair, can you blame him? I mean, his girlfriend's the most popular person on earth right now. Bro's raking in millions. He's in like some TV show now. I mean, he's starting to become like the Nikola Jokic to drop basketball term of the NFL. Football's now like a side job to this man.
Yeah.
And I mean, I'm not hating. I'm just saying, come on, bro's out here living life. Come on, come on.
I wouldn't even say that his heart isn't in it. It's just hard to keep a good mood when, I mean, it's just hard to keep a good mood when you're just like, obviously they're trying to get him involved in the offense, but he just hasn't been able to produce because of the way that defenses are playing on him right now. So it definitely is got to be really hard to kind of keep a positive attitude and kind of keep your mind in the game or just in the season in general.
Yeah, you have a solid point. But overall, I will tell you that I do think that they, I do think Kansas City loses.
Yeah.
Like I said, I just think when I look at the teams, obviously both teams are just bruised and battered and everything else. But I do see San Fran coming away just because they just have more talent. And, you know, you got Debo to lean on, you got Kittle, you got Ayuk. Heck, Juszczyk can run the ball if they really don't have Jordan Mason. So, like I said, you just got to give me the Niners. This feels like one of those games where I think Kansas City's luck just runs out.
Yeah, no, I wholeheartedly agree with you on that. I got nothing else. One more thing about this game, I guess, even though he's not playing, Ricky Pearsall back to practicing.
Oh, nice, nice. You know, sucks what happened to him, and I'm glad he's gotten back. I can't wait to see what he can do.
Yeah, unfortunately, like, we won't see him this year, most likely, but it's going to be a great story for next year when he actually does play.
Mm-hmm.
Moving on, we'll get to our actual games now. Not like Risky Game of the Week isn't an actual game, but the rest of the slate. Starting off with the London game, Pats, Jaguars, both teams 1-5. We were talking about this just before we got started up on the show, that this is a very weird game, right? Spreads at -6 for the Jaguars. And there's a very similar situation to last season where the Jaguars have back-to-back weeks where they're in London. Last year, they had the Bills against a pretty good Bills team where they ended up beating them on the second part of this back-to-back. And betting-wise, seems like a very, very trappish game because Pats obviously are bad, but the Jaguars are also really bad as well. There's where your trap comes in. Now, do I think that the Pats have a chance to beat the Jaguars? Yes, but it's hard to say that they will just because of history showing that Jaguars being in London for 2 weeks definitely does play a very pivotal role in a game just based off of history alone. I am going with the Patriots. If they don't win, I think that they'll cover. And here's a little stat for you as well. There's a graph stat right now of quarterbacks that are able to create plays out of the pocket or whatnot, or when they're in trouble in general, and how effective they are. Josh Allen and Drake May are currently the top two quarterbacks in the league. Obviously, Drake May playing in one game.
Yeah, well, one game.
But Drake May has already gone up to the same percentage as Josh Allen in terms of creating plays and also the same percentage of effective plays as well, like positive EPA. So that's pretty impressive, to say the least, especially with...
Oh, it certainly is.
Very impressive. Big thing here, Pats really need to cut down on the turnovers, though. 4 turnovers last week against the Texans, a game that they don't have those turnovers. It probably could have been a one-score game. Not like we were expecting the Patriots to win anyways.
Nah.
But I think if the Patriots can get themselves to no turnovers against a pretty bad Jaguars defense, I think they'll come away with a victory here.
Yeah. Look, the Jaguars, when they play in London for 2 weeks, have they ever lost their second game?
I think this is the second time that they've had this, but I'll go back real quick and check.
Yeah, no, because I mean, the Jaguars are really good in London. I remember last year they beat, I want to say, the Bills.
It was the Bills. They won 25-20.
Yeah, so like I said, they upset Buffalo. It's just for New England. I just feel like the only reason why I wouldn't be as high on this is just because, you know, Jags are in London. They've been there longer. Jet lag's a thing. because I think New England just touched down there today, if I recall correctly, or like late, what would be last night, you know, time zones, right?
Yeah.
But I have said, and we saw this too, New England did have two, Drake May had three turnovers, but we have been adamant on this. Two were in his fall, one was a blindside hit due to an, you know, blindside fumble after a rusher was unblocked. The other one was a tipped ball at the line that resulted in like a circus catch interception. Once again, nothing he could have done. But May gave New England a lot. And keep in mind, May had three touchdown passes in his debut as a rookie against Houston. And there's no way around it. He looked pretty solid, unless, of course, you're Kurt Warner, who, you know, called it a tough watch. But then again, Kurt Warner is a little biased, but that's okay. He'll always have his spot in, let's be real, the Hall of Very Good, even though he's a Hall of Famer for some reason. I kid. but other than the blatant hating there, it is a winnable game for New England, and I'm actually going to have to go at New England because Drake May, I think, changes the equation for them. He really does. This team looked entirely different with May at the helm, and he's only going to get more comfortable. And the Jaguars really only have a few decent players on defense. I mean, you have Walker and Hines Allen now. I always forget that. But I don't know. May can still buy time. And look, Trayvon Walker and Josh Hines Allen are good, but come on. They're not Will Anderson and Danielle Hunter. And like I said, with May at the helm, I think that New England can get it done on the road. But word of caution, I wholeheartedly believe that if the Patriots win this game, Doug Peterson, the Jaguars coach, is going to get fired.
Yeah.
Because you don't lose both your London games and get to come back to the United States employed.
I was thinking that too. Doug Peterson, definitely one of two coaches that are coaching for their job this week. That is for sure. And we're going to get to the other coach later on as well. All right. Pats and Pats. What a surprise from two Pats fans.
I would say Jags, they were still starting Brissett, but they're not.
True. No, I definitely would as well. Seattle versus Atlanta in Atlanta. Falcons are pretty hot right now, to say the least. Seattle, not so much. Started out 3-0. Since then, 0-3. Jacksonville. Seattle's just not playing that great right now. And I think when you have a hot team like the Falcons, they're a team that's on a three-game winning streak, all three games against divisional opponents, by the way. I think that they're going to stay hot and they're going to get the win here. And CJ, I'm going to let you take the rest of this game real quick. I got to go get my dog from outside real quick.
Oh, he's pulling an Adam. Yeah. Nah, that's just kid. I kid. It's all good, you know, because if you've been around long enough and you know the Fumble Rooski lore, you know, Adam and his dog, Doug, you know, sometimes he has to go deal with him, but it's fine. You know, we love our pets. We love them all. Cats, dogs, whatever. So, this Seahawks-Falcons game is going to be something. See, I'm old enough to remember when the Seahawks started 3-0. And for those of you keeping track at home, they are now 3-3. And to be fair, it's not entirely their fault. Seahawks have been decimated by injuries on the defensive side of the ball. So much so where first-year head coach Mike McDonald can only do so much. And look, he was a defensive genius at Baltimore, and the Seahawks defense looked really good the first 3 weeks. But, you know, injuries just completely dogpiled on him. And I think this game is a tale of two teams going in completely opposite directions. The Falcons started off shaky, and like Chris just mentioned, what was it, three straight wins against divisional opponents? And if you're a true football fan, then you know these divisional games are nothing to sneeze at. So I don't have to think too hard. Just give me the Falcons. Like I said, there's two teams on opposite trajectories. Falcons are on the up and up, and Seattle, if they were healthy, I'd say this would really be a game, but they're not, so it's not.
I also just, the Seahawks too, I just hate the way they're playing as well. I meant to mention this before I went to get my dog.
No running game anymore. There's no running game anymore, man.
Yeah, exactly. That's my point. For some reason, they're straying away from running the ball with Kenneth Walker and Zach Charbonnet, and two really good backs to have in your backfield. It just doesn't really make sense. Like take last week, for example. Kenneth Walker did have 14 carries for 32 yards. I'm just trying to look for more box score stats right now. But they ran the ball 20 times in the game against the Niners. They only got 52 rushing yards, which is, when you're going up against the Niners defense, what are you going to expect? But Charbonnet only got 5 carries. The week before that against the Giants, they only ran the ball 11 times. 5 for Kenneth Walker, 2 for Charbonnet. And let's look at the first loss of the season to Detroit, 42-29. This was a little bit of a weirder one because it was kind of a gun it out. But this is a game where they only ran the ball 19 times, 12 carries for Kenneth Walker, 2 for Charbonnet. Kenneth Walker had 3 touchdowns. Cool. But I don't know. Like, yeah, I don't mind that they're having Geno Smith throw the ball 35 to 50 times a game, because I think that he has proven that you can win with his arm right now. But I just don't think that just entirely means that you go away from your running game where you have two really good young backs.
Yeah. Oh, God. Like I said, they just stopped running the ball. And to be fair, when they do try it, it hasn't gone anywhere. The efficiency for this team is in the toilet.
Yeah.
At least on the ground.
Yeah. Moving on, this is probably going to be a quick one. Buffalo and Tennessee. I'm pretty sure we're getting Amari Cooper in this game, right?
I would think so. And if you're a Buffalo fan, you better hope he grew his hands back.
I think that the way that at least reports are showing that he's practicing like he's getting ready to play. I think it's just going to be one of those things that how quickly he gets equated with the playbook. So kind of depends on what happens with that. But yeah, regardless, one team's going one way, another team's going the other way with Tennessee. Yeah. I think Tennessee might put up a better offensive game, maybe, just because Buffalo's beat up on the defensive end, but this is Buffalo all the way.
Yeah. This is another game where, come on, you really don't have to think too hard. This is Buffalo's game to lose. And they're literally going up against someone who I have said before, and I will mention again, is literally a better meme than a quarterback.
Yeah.
Will Levis is probably done after this year. He's just, I at this point, just feel like you're trying to showcase what you can do for potential other teams. So let's be real. It's Levis. He's not winning. And even if the Bills don't start Amari Cooper, which it's very real they might not, I don't see it winning. And I don't see them winning. I mean, I don't see them losing. And it's in Buffalo.
In Buffalo, yeah. Will Levis, 699 yards this year, 5 touchdowns, 7 interceptions, and you're going up against a quarterback in Josh Allen that hasn't turned the ball over at all, but has had times where probably should have been a turnover, and he's going to be the first one to admit that. Mm-hmm. But the Titans' only bright spot right now on the offensive side is Tony Pollard. Even D-Hop, I mean, granted, it's hard to have D-Hop get going when they can't even get him the ball. So, yeah. Tony Pollard, only bright spot, and he doesn't even have 500 yards rushing, only has 3 rushing touchdowns, and that's saying something for how this Tennessee offense has been running.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. Cincy versus Cleveland, AFC North battle. This is the second divisional game for the Bengals and for the Browns. I'm pretty sure this is their this is their second, and I am right about that. Bengals is their second, Browns it's their first. Here's a little tidbit for you. So Nick Chubb just got ruled as good to go for Sunday. I think that this is going to be, I think this is going to be closer game than what people expect, because obviously everyone hates Deshaun Watson. I think that his teammates are starting to get sick of this guy. Now you lose Amari Cooper, which sucks, but now you brought back Nick Chubb. And Nick Chubb, if you've seen any clips of the Browns or even the press conferences for the Browns, they love this guy. He is no doubt the most lovable guy on the team that isn't named Jameis Winston.
Or Myles Garrett.
Or Myles Garrett. So I think that you have this newfound energy with the Browns. They're going to give the Bengals. I'm not going to say the Browns are going to win, but I think that this could very well be a cover game for the Browns, that they cover the 5.5 spread. Nick Chubb. And that's not to say that Nick Chubb is going to get 30 carries in this game. I am not going to be the first one to say that they're going to give Nick Chubb the ball every freaking play and use him like they did prior to him tearing his knee up. But just the fact that you have this newfound energy can be very dangerous for a team.
Yeah, I could not forecast what Nick Chubb's workload is going to be. What I can tell you is that Cleveland is absolutely fired up to have this guy. However, I still have Cincy, because you can have Nick Chubb, you have all the Nick Chubbs in the world, but as long as your $230 million guaranteed ball and chain is still your quarterback, it's just not looking good. And it is a divisional game, and you do have a solid defense, so I think you can still make it a game, and Chubb will certainly help in that aspect. It's just, I don't see them beating Cleveland, even if it, I mean, I don't see them beating Cincinnati, even if it is in Cleveland.
Yeah. That's pretty much, those are the two only things that Cleveland really has going for them. They have Nick Chubb back, and they're going to have the dog pound behind them.
Mm-hmm.
Going to the next game, could have been a Ruski Game of the Week contender, Houston versus Green Bay. Green Bay's favored in this game. At home, at Lambeau. And I don't know if you saw, they're wearing their white helmets for this game.
I think I did see that, yeah. For Green Bay, right?
Yeah, which is odd that they're wearing them for a 1 o'clock, or debuting them for a 1 o'clock game. You would think that it would be a primetime game, but if you're going to wait
for Miles Trevor, man.
Unfortunately, if you're going to wait for a primetime game, then it would have been for the only other primetime game they have coming up is Thanksgiving night against the Miami Dolphins at home. Hmm. So you would have to wait almost half the season, or if you choose one of these 425 games coming up, well, they have the Lions at 425 in 3 or 2 weeks after this. And then against the 49ers right before Thanksgiving Day against the or Thanksgiving night against the Dolphins. I mean, you wait for a primetime game to let those unis and the helmet pop. So that's kind of the only thing that I could really think of at that point. But back to the actual game itself. Houston, defense is great. Offense is great. Even without Nico Collins, they're able to, I mean, the Pats defense beating up, but still is not a bad defense. And they're able to figure it out without Nico Collins, take advantage of the 4 turnovers that the Pats gave them. The Packers, now that they have Jordan Love back, they're coming off of a 34-13 beatdown in Arizona. Jordan Love is starting to look fully healthy again. I honestly forget who I even picked for this game to begin with.
You picked Houston.
Oh, I did pick Houston. Part of me is now thinking Green Bay. I don't know. That's how much of a toss-up this game is. But I just like Houston's defense better. Give me Houston.
Yeah, I'm going to be honest. I understand the siren song that is picking the Green Bay Packers, but I just think Houston's defense is too good. Green Bay's is okay, but they don't have enough options to cover Diggs and Dell, and now they have Mixon out of the backfield. Schultz is a safety valve. Stroud has too many options, and meanwhile, while he is back, I can't help but notice that Jordan Love is extremely turnover prone now, which is weird because he really wasn't last season, but here he's just throwing picks left and right. So I think that's going to hurt. I think it's going to be a shootout. It's going to be a high-scoring game. But I think whoever wins the turnover battle wins the day. So I think that it's going to end up being Houston wins the turnover battle and subsequently the game.
Yeah. To kind of go off of that point, 10 touchdowns to 5 interceptions since he came back from his injury.
I mean, so. 10 touchdowns is good, but you would greatly prefer if, you know, not 5 picks.
Yeah. But I think the point being, though, like he had the 3 interception game against Minnesota and then only putting up 1 interception in each of the last 2 games. I think I can see this being a game where he limits himself to no turnovers, but I think down the stretch, this is probably going to be in favor of Houston. The only way I could see this not being Houston is if their defense falls apart like it did against Minnesota.
Yeah, and I mean, I will grant you that most of his interceptions did come in one game, but that game also had 4 touchdowns, so he's also 6-2 in reality, so I'm just saying.
Oh, no, I'm not here to disagree at all. I'm just trying to spin it around a little bit.
Yeah, fair.
Next game, Miami versus Indianapolis. I will never pick the Dolphins as long as Tua is out. And honestly, even when Tua comes back, I might still pick against the Dolphins the rest of the season. But on the Colts side, no Jonathan Taylor, but they're getting Anthony Richardson back. Obviously, my answer here is the Colts, but definitely good that you're getting Anthony Richardson back. It sucks that you're losing Jonathan Taylor, but Trey Sermon is still a pretty serviceable back in his own right. I just like the Colts more. Miami's offense has just been so terrible without Tua that it's just so hard to pick.
Yeah.
Pick the Dolphins.
Which is weird because Tua is not what we would consider in the upper echelon of quarterbacks, but you need someone. You know, you still need someone, and unfortunately, they don't really have anyone behind Tua. You have the softest Pro Bowler ever in Skylar Thompson, and I'm pretty sure there's some other rando floating about in there, the clipboard holder there. You know, Rodgers' buddy. His name escapes me.
His name is Tim Boyle.
Yeah, Tim Boyle. Yeah, Rodgers' buddy. Like I said, professional clipboard holder. So, yeah, not great. And
I mean, Tyler Huntley does give the Dolphins their best chance to win, but it's.
Yeah, well, it goes from a 1% chance to a 1.1% chance. Come on now.
Exactly. I mean,
it's true he does, but it's marginal. So, this is another one where you don't think too hard. Give me Indy. And by the way, Tua should not. I mean, we were talking about, but when Tua comes back, Tua should not come back.
No.
Completely different topic for a completely different day, but he should not come back. And if he does, shame on the Dolphins for continuing to let him play.
I know.
Oh, well.
Oh, well. But yeah, looking at the ESPN matchup predictor, according to ESPN analytics, 70.5% in favor of the Colts, 29.2% in favor of the Dolphins.
Jeez. Well, can't say it's not understandable.
Yeah. Moving on to potentially the best game of the 1 o'clock early afternoon window, the Lions and the Vikings. Lions coming off of a very emotional, very overstatement win against the Cowboys. Only problem is that they lost Aiden Hutchinson. And here's a real kicker for you. Both teams undefeated in their respective right in the way that this game is playing out right now. Vikings undefeated at home. Lions undefeated on the road. And just checking right now real quick. Carlton Davis currently questionable with a quadriceps injury. Not him getting kicked in the head, a quadriceps injury. Which,
do you mean
I don't understand how he's about to play this week after getting kicked in the head, but I'm going with the Lions on this. I think that even though the Vikings are coming off of a bye week, I just feel like that the Lions are holding so much momentum right now that they're going to be the ones that are going to take down the Jets or Jets. I'm looking at the box score right now for the Vikings Jets game from a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
I think that the Lions are going to be the ones to take down the Vikings and end their undefeated season. If anyone's going to do it, I think it's going to be the Lions. And I said this a couple weeks ago, Sam Darnold can only have so many of these good games left.
Yeah. I could see this
being a Sam Darnold maybe going back to his old ways for this one game.
Yeah. And I think this is one of those scenarios where the bye week hurts more than it helps. I'm going to try to predict how this game's going to go as well. I think the Lions are going to open up firing out of the gate because, you know, all the momentum's on their side. Vikings are going to be a little sluggish coming out of a bye week. They're going to get in their groove eventually, but it's just going to be too late. And I think that the Lions, I'm also expecting this to be a shootout, and I'm expecting the Lions to win and hand the Vikings their first L on the year. But there is a part of me that does wonder one thing, and I'm going to share this before we move on to the next game. We have seen before these quarterbacks, you know, like now the Sam Darnolds of the world, where they go on a new team and they open up really well. But notice in history, all it takes is one loss and the wheels come off.
Yeah.
And I just got to say, Vikings, are you for real? Don't know. But mark my words, if you lose this game, history has shown with these journeyman resurgent quarterbacks, once the streak ends, the losses come in bunches. If you lose, then you better get the ship right fast. But if you win, then throw this out the window.
Yeah, and there's also the potential that they're going to be without Aaron Jones for this game as well.
Ooh, that's big.
Just based off of practice reports, he's been limited at practice, so we'll see what the final stand goes for that. Final game on the 1 p.m. docket for us, Philly versus the Giants. Philly is currently favored in this game, but Nick Sirianni just makes it so hard to be likable. Mm. Like, if there was a unlikable challenge, Nick Sirianni is winning it by a landslide. And I think that he is coaching for his job, much like Doug Peterson is coaching for his job against New England. Nick Sirianni's coaching for his job in this game as well. You're going on the road to the job to MetLife and going up against a really bad Giants offense who hasn't won a game at home this year yet. And you're coming off of a game against Cleveland where Nick Sirianni is screaming at your home fans, which I don't care. I think anyone can agree to this. I don't care what the fans are saying to you. I guess there's some report that the fan that he was yelling at posted on Instagram that he was telling him to run the ball. And then Nick Sirianni came over and was like, yeah, like, doesn't matter. Like, don't yell at your home fans. That it's easy enough. That alone is going to put you more on the hot seat than you already are. But I think that Philly is going to get the win in this game, though. And it's probably going to be an ugly one because we said this about the Broncos defense. Giants defense is pretty underrated. They have a really good D-line. I don't know if this is a Saquon revenge game as well, but I don't know how much Saquon is really going to be able to do in this game. I mean, Eagles also do have pretty solid O-line usually anyways too. But yeah, give me the Eagles on this one.
This being a division game makes it so hard. And even though the rosters are on two different planets, I'm picking the Eagles, but I'm not confident in it. I'm just not. As long as Sirianni is there, you know what? He's like, remember what I said about Mahomes earlier? He's, even though he's a coach, he's the inverse Mahomes. Whereas, like, you always have a shot with Mahomes. With Sirianni, I'm never going to be 100% in your corner. So, this is one of those games where I would not be shocked. Once again, it's also a divisional game, too, if the Giants pulled off. But just based on the roster alone in a Saquon revenge game, I got to go Philly. But once again, we all know Sirianni's on borrowed time. If he loses, oh, he's gone. They are throwing him into the Philly suburbs and letting the fans deal with him after that one if they lose.
Yeah. They'll respectfully let him take the bus ride home back to Philly. But after that, it's no holds barred. We're going to step aside for a quick break. When we come back, we're going to get into our late afternoon matchups and the primetime games, the Monday night games and the Sunday night games. You're listening to the Fumble Risky Podcast.
It may not have always showed it in the stat sheet, but you can see him making throws when he needs to make the throws.
Back-to-back games where he has three touchdowns.
Someone's got to get that six or seven spot.
He's an elite wide receiver as a rookie.
Truly a lose-lose scenario for both sides.
This is the Fumble Rooski Podcast. Chris Kostich, CJ Medeiros. Week 7 late afternoon matchups. First one on docket, Raiders-Rams. We were talking about this on Tuesday. I don't really know how good of a coach Antonio Pierce really is. Aiden O'Connell stinks. No more Davante Adams. Rams coming off a bye week.
Business decisions were made, I tell you.
And with one wide receiver leaving, another one comes back. Cooper Kupp, also off of, finally ruled questionable as someone that has him on his fantasy team. I can tell you right now that he is currently listed as questionable. Looking at the latest practice report, LA Rams wide receiver Cooper Kupp considered questionable play. Sean McVay said a decision on Kupp could come down to closer to game time after he suffered his sprained ankle in week 2. But I feel like all roads are leading to Kupp playing. But even with Kupp not playing, I see the Rams pulling out the win here.
Kupp, no Kupp, I'm still choosing the Rams. Pierce is another head coach that's on borrowed time. And the Raiders just got worse. They got rid of Davante Adams. Aiden O'Connell's not that guy. Gardner Minshew's a good meme, but he's not that guy. I just, like I said, the Raiders, you're playing for the draft at this point.
Yeah.
And Antonio Pierce has blatantly just lost the locker room. I don't know how many friends he still has there, so it's over. Give me the Rams. Kupp or not.
I say that they let Pierce ride out the rest of this year and see how they look around this time next year, and that's when we'll see what ends up becoming of Antonio Pierce.
No, I mean, I know, but it's like once you lose the locker room, like you never get it back.
Yeah.
Like I can't think of any head coach in the NFL that's already lost the locker room and then wrangled it back. I mean, either way, for a lot of these things, we just wouldn't know. But when the problems are this well documented and this blatantly obvious, like with, you know, Pierce calling out his own guys, I don't know if he makes it the rest of the year. I really don't.
No. Moving on to the next game, Carolina versus Washington. The Commanders are so hot right now, and they end up playing a really, really good game against Baltimore last week, which honestly kind of surprised everybody, in all honesty, because the way that Washington's defense is isn't really great. You would have thought that Lamar and Derrick Henry was going to put up 40 on Washington's head. They only put up 30, and Jaden Daniels and the Commanders put up 27 or 23, whatever. Either way, they lost by a score. So that gives you so much confidence going the rest of the way at this point. And Carolina, really, their only bright spot is Chuba Hubbard. If you're a Chuba Hubbard fantasy owner, you're probably living on cloud nine right now, the way that he's been playing. Let me read off some stats for you from Hubbard in the last few games. Versus Atlanta last week, 18 carries, 92 yards. Versus Chicago, 13 carries, 97 yards and a touchdown. Versus Cincinnati, 18 carries, 104 yards and a touchdown. Their one win against the Raiders, 21 carries, 114 yards, not a touchdown. And even the loss against the Chargers week one, 10 carries, 64 yards. Like, he's carrying the ball extremely efficiently, which is awesome. Averaging just under 6 yards a carry. He's projected to rush for 1,300 yards right now. He's starting to really pick it up as a good running back right now.
Yeah, as a Chuba Hubbard fantasy owner, I'm so happy. Deontay Johnson's actually pretty good too, and we owe this to Andy Dalton. Because somehow, despite their record, he still gives them a better shot than the man I describe as a lawn gnome playing quarterback, Bryce Young. So, as much as we love Andy Dalton, how is it not Washington? I mean, have you seen how Jayden Daniels has been playing? The Jayden Daniels scary Terry connection is real, let me tell you. Sure, their defense might need some work, and poor Jonathan Allen's probably done for the year, but I still have them over Carolina.
Yeah, the only thing that for Washington really is that they might be without Brian Robinson again for the second week in a row, but even then you have Austin.
Yeah, Eckler, don't they? Yeah.
Well, what?
I would say they have Eckler, don't they?
Yeah, they have Eckler. So, I mean, regardless, they'll end up being fine. But yeah, Washington. Mm-hmm. Sunday Night Football, Jets versus the Steelers. We're going to get our first iteration of Aaron Rodgers and Davante Adams in Jets uniforms. And Steelers on their side, Russell Wilson getting the start. Which... I know that Justin Fields hasn't played great, and he is the first is actually did admit it yesterday or the other day that he knows he hasn't been playing great. But I think with the Big Ben theory here is that Justin Fields has the hot hand. So I feel like you have to stick with Justin Fields in this case with how good the Steelers are playing right now, especially with the defense. This is going to be an ugly game.
Oh yeah.
I think that we might see the Jets maybe do better on offense again. You could kind of see that they're doing better, moving the ball better, I should say, without Nathaniel Hackett calling plays last week. But now you're playing against the Steelers defense that actually is pretty good and not beaten up. So this one's a toss-up. This one is a toss-up, but I'm going to go with the Jets.
You have to go with the Jets. And look, let me just say, as someone who's not a Justin Fields fan, I disagree with the decision to bench him. Because look, Fields is a game manager. You know, he's there to just conduct drives and not make mistakes. You know, he's played very conservative, but like I said with Bo Nix, that's what you need if you're Pittsburgh. They're going to get their plus 500 record come hell or high water. Nothing will stop them from being mid, I tell you. However, the Jets with Davante Adams, I know Pittsburgh's going to throw everything they have at him. That's going to open up guys like Garrett Wilson underneath, you know, because now it used to be you could just double team Wilson, but now, you know, you got Adams to deal with. Like I said, the only issue that I see is that I can see Rodgers trying to throwing all logic out the window and saying, screw this. I'm just going to force feed Adams, which is something, like I said, they called me a madman for it, but I can see it. I really can. I can see him just start saying, oh, this is my friend, and I'm just going to chuck him the ball regardless. So I also think it's going to be an ugly game just because Pittsburgh is a good defense, but I'm going with the Jets.
Yeah, it's one of those games that it's really going to come down to the Jets offense versus the Pittsburgh defense, to be honest. Mm-hmm. Like, you could probably say the same thing on the other side, Steelers offense versus the Jets defense. Because
no, the Jets defense is actually, like, solid.
Better than
solid. But I don't trust Russell Wilson anymore. I don't.
No. Monday Night Football. We're back to the doubleheaders, baby. We're back to the doubleheaders.
Oh, boy.
But this kind of sucks at the same time because it's not 7:30, 8:15 start. It's 8:15, 9 o'clock start.
If your team plays at 9 o'clock, you need some kind of financial compensation because we saw what happened last time, you know, the Pittsburgh-Dallas game. Ugh.
Well, I mean, granted that
it was a weather delay, but I don't delay, take that into consideration.
Thunder delay, and they were playing on the East Coast. This makes a little bit more sense because they're playing on the West Coast.
Don't care.
But anyways, Ravens versus Bucks. I'm taking the Ravens. Right off the bat, taking the Ravens. Only reason I need is Lamar Jackson's record against NFC teams. Only one loss. And for some reason, that one loss is against Daniel Jones and the Giants.
Yeah, I remember that game. That was weird. Actually, that was still when I was in college, and our co-host, Tuck, I had the same class as he did. And I'm like, hey, buddy, how you doing? Some game. He was not very chatty that day.
I can imagine. But also, yeah. Did you see the clip that came out, NFL Films clip, I think it was, Lamar and Derrick Henry, last drive of the Commanders game last week?
Yeah.
Funny clip.
Yeah.
Lamar is probably one of the only people to tell Derrick Henry to fuck off, and he's going to take it himself.
Yeah. I mean, if it works, I mean, look, the chemistry there is awesome.
Yeah.
But look, Tampa's a good team, but I feel like the Ravens are a no-brainer, and that's not any slight towards Tampa. It's just the Ravens have been playing so well lately, and but if Tampa wins, that's going to be something in of itself. And it is in Tampa, but I still think Baltimore takes it.
Yeah. I'm looking quickly right now. So Lamar Jackson has a 22-1 record versus NFC teams. I wanted to look for the Ravens scoring margins against NFC teams as of recent, but it's probably going to take me a little bit. Oh, here we go. Yeah, this might take me longer than I really want, but either way, 22-1, 20-1, whatever it is. Great record. Give me the Ravens. Second half of the doubleheader, Chargers and Cardinals. Chargers coming off a bye, I think. I don't know. Who cares? Give me the Chargers. I mean, Cardinals' offense is so hit or miss, and now they are most likely.
Don't even have Marvin Harrison.
Yep, no Marvin Harrison due to concussion protocol. And the Chargers' defense has been playing pretty lights out as well. They have amongst the league some of the, I think, the least points against right now. I'm just looking really, really quickly. Chargers total yards per game are top 10. Passing yards per game, they are also top 10. And this is all defensive, by the way. Rushing yards also top 10, and fewest points per game. You guessed it. It's the Chargers. This defense.
Yeah.
Jim Harbaugh has a certain type of way to play, and that's how his teams win.
Yeah. A lot of it's just coaching. A lot of people have forgotten, let me tell you, that Jim Harbaugh is a really good coach. Heart problem from last week or not, I still expect them to win.
Yeah.
And look, like I said, Cardinals didn't have Marvin Harrison Jr. Their offense is so hit or miss. They're one of those teams I think will be a threat within the next 2 to 3 years, but this is really more of a feeling out year. The roster's still not great.
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, this is probably going to be a Chargers team that probably sneaks their way into the 6 or 7 seed and maybe...
Someone's got to get it, right, Chris?
Someone's got to get it. And sneak into the 6 or 7 seed and losing the wild card round, but they're making headway. they're making headway. That's all they really need. They're on the right track to build what Brandon Staley failed at. So they're in a good spot. But that'll do it for all of our scheduled content. Other breaking news as well. Jay Cutler getting arrested for a DUI.
The legend himself, the pride of Vanderbilt, smoking Jay. I saw that on JPA football. Something about that just tickles me. I don't know why. It's so funny.
Vandy legend, Bears legend, Dolphins legend. Oh, I love it. We just love it. But that'll do it for us today for this Friday picks day for week 7 of the Fumble Rooski podcast. We thank you for joining us. Of course, new episode coming out on Tuesday at 7:30. All of our episodes can be streamed on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Spreaker, Apple Podcast, Google Podcast, and so much more. Be sure to follow our Instagram and our TikTok. Instagram's FumbleRooski_podcast. TikTok, FumbleRooskiPod, for all of the memes, the latest updates, and all of our podcast clips so we can get you guys to rage in our comments. But
with that, that one Coleman lover.
Yep.
You know who you are.
From CJ Medeiros, Chris Gostich, this has been the Fumble Rooski Podcast. We'll see you on Tuesday.